So today's message is knock, knock, who's there? Okay, and what do you think we're talking about? Well, we're talking about the doors in our life that we come in contact with. We have to ask the same question. When there's a door, who's there? What's behind it? Do I go in? Do I go out? And that's what we're going to look at today. We might not even realize or recognize how many doors we have in our own life that we're facing today. How many did you face yesterday? There's tons of them. Doors can be openings. They can be entrances or exits in our life. Doors can be barriers or they can be bridges. Doors can be acceptance or rejection in our life. So doors represent a lot of things in our life. The Bible talks about many things representing doors, and then it specifically talks about a door or doors. And we're going to look at that today. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. That's where we're going to start out today. Now, as we start out today, there's a door that we have every single day that we face, and it's that attitude door. Sometimes we open it up and we slam it shut. Uh-oh, I don't want to peek in there today. But it's a choice, right? So, in preparation of that, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. You made a great choice on doing that today, man. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we have options. Every door in our life has options as well. And that's why I like that scripture. This is a day that the Lord has made. What are we going to do with it? Well, we're just going to kick it to the curb. We're going to muddle our way through. No, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. That doesn't mean we're glad in everything we face, but we have joy inside of us that allows us to rejoice in this being the day that the Lord has made. So I love that. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. And I want you to listen carefully. Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and if you are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," verse 18, listen. "I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. It says, I will call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life. That both you and your descendants," it's not just affecting you, it's you and your descendants, "may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Why this scripture, Adam? I didn't see anything about a door. Everything in there was a door. "I have set before you," he says, "life and good." Those are doors. We have the opportunity to go through those or to walk past them. "I've set before you death and evil." Those are doors. You can go through them or you can go past them.
He says, I have given you that you may choose life. Why? For you and your descendants. All those things represent doors in our lives. And each time we face a door, listen carefully. And I don't like to call out the young people, but young people, listen carefully. But old people, we got to listen to. Older people, sorry. Older folks, we have to listen to. Each and every time we face a door, we have a decision to make, do we not? Each and every time, we don't even recognize those doors sometimes as opportunities for good or evil, for life or death. Moses is telling the Israelites about life and death, and it's been set before them, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Doors cost. They cost time. They cost effort, energy, sometimes talent, but they cost. They cost money sometimes, and sometimes they cost you your life. Okay, everybody, not just young people. Each and every door that we face shapes our life. It shapes our current life and our future life. You know, Eric and I were talking briefly in the office before the message, and he said sometimes that's where discerning and more mature Christians can speak into the life of younger people, or maybe not even younger, but less mature Christians. Why? They have maturity. They have that wisdom and knowledge that they've gained, but they've also grown through things. And so they've grown through the decisions that they have to make. Doors, there's three types of doors that we face. And I'm breaking it down into simple stuff. The Bible has several references, but I'm going to break it down into three doors. And you write this down. Open doors. It's pretty simple. Closed doors. And trap doors. Oh, you just thought there were open and closed doors. I was going to have Spencer go back in the back here and say, okay, we see two doors there, but go back there and he's nowhere to be found. Why? Because there's a trap door right back there. Guess where it goes? Not to hell. It goes right down under the stage. Okay? It goes right down underneath the stage. Any of you ever been down there underneath that crawl space besides Spencer? Oh, okay, we're going to get to that in a minute because we take a peek down certain doorways too. It's pretty scary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I went down there once and I couldn't take it. Too claustrophobic, I bailed out and I said, I'm out. It's just too spooky down there. But I tell you what, if I had to face life and death and someone came through one of those back doors, I'd probably boogie for that little area underneath there. Yeah, I could probably make it there quick enough maybe. We'll see. Okay, but those trap doors, and we don't think about those trap doors. We think there's open doors and closed doors, and it's pretty simple. It's open, I can go through it. No, be careful. Those are tricks, man. So as we look at open doors, sometimes those are godly opportunities. Open doors are godly opportunities. Open them. Go through them. Even if you face opposition. Now, who are you going to face opposition from in an open door? Family, friends, spouse, mate, yourself. God, I see this opportunity you've set before me. God, I've prayed about it. I believe it's your will. And there's something in the Old Testament about a young man that said, hey, God, I know you want me to go to Nineveh, but I'm going that way. He said, God, you've set this open door in front of me, but man, I oppose that. I don't want to do it. So we can be our own opposition to those things. Now, hear me carefully. Those open doors that are godly opportunities, that doesn't mean that they're without trouble. That doesn't mean that they're trouble-free and that you go through this godly opportunity door and I'm going through the door and it's going to be great back there. God can take you through opportunities for him. Think about all the things the disciples have been through. They were to glorify him. I don't think being in prison is trouble-free. Okay? But they were thrown in prison. And then they had the great earthquake and all the doors were opened up. And the guy said, oh my gosh, they're gone. They said, hey, we're here. We're still here. They're singing songs at midnight in jail. Glorifying God. And sometimes he gives us those opportunities so that we can glorify him in our trials, in our troubles, in our victories, and in our death. Did we proclaim him up until our death? Well, he told me to go witness to people in my illness, but I didn't want to, so I didn't. I felt sorry for me. And sometimes you go back and that door's closed. Oh, I should have taken that while it was open. Second door, closed doors. Closed doors can be distractions. Now listen carefully. They may look good to us, but it pulls us away from godly opportunities or from godly choices. Now I'll break these down in just a minute a little bit further. And then the third door, the trap door. Oh my goodness. Looking at these doors through our own perspective or our own will. Looks like a way out, God. I'm going to go through it. You ever look at an old movie or cartoons and they open that door and it goes to a brick wall right on the other side of that open door? And we do that all the time. We look at these things and say, it looks good. This has to be the way out. Oh, Lord, dead end. It's going nowhere. We have to look at our future. And again, that's for all of us, not just young people. We have to look at our future from God's view and say, God, what do you have in store for me? I don't know. But we're trying to look at our future through our current situation, our current circumstances, our past situations, our past circumstances. And he says, those things do not define you. Because I've set before you a door. And those are doors that only I can open and close. When I open it, somebody else can't go up and close it. But when I close it, somebody else can't go up and open it. And we have to look at our future from God's perspective and his view. And not say, God, my current situation is just going to leave me here. There's no way I could rise above that. My past situations and circumstances. Now, those could be some doors. He says, you've got this opportunity, but you've got some price to pay for some of those doors you went through that you weren't supposed to go through. And then God, kiss you, you know, you said, I look down there. God will give us glimpses sometimes. He'll give us a little glimpse of the future before we're ready to walk through it. Let me get in here. Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And I want you to listen carefully to what it says, because sometimes we can go past these things. And it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Now listen carefully, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Ow. It's that word. How many times does the Bible tell us to do that? And wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God, you gave me a glimpse in this door. I know you want me to go down it. I'm ready now. If I had a nickel for every time I thought I was ready now to go through a doorway, God, why did you shut that door? I needed that doorway. Yeah, so what you needed to do was grow up and mature. What you needed to do was gain knowledge, gain information, gain experience, whatever it is. Wait for it. We try and hurry up that time clock of God all the time. God, if I can just move those hands on the clock around a few times, I don't need it next week, next month, or next year, Lord. I need it today. God says, no, you don't. I know what you need, and I've got you. He will bring it to pass when? In His perfect timing. Don't rush it. So listen carefully again. The three doors: open doors, closed doors, and trap doors. Open doors are opportunities from God, and I want you to listen to what those could be. Those could be new choices, new chances, new beginnings. Could be work to do. He says, oh yeah, you've got work to do. There's kingdom work to do. Well, Lord, I kind of want to just come and sit in your presence. He says, yeah, you can sit in my presence all day long, but there's things I need you to do in the meantime. Closed doors could be rejections or delays used by God for what? For your protection and timing. We were talking about sometimes you have to close those doors for the grandkids so they don't get hurt. That door's closed today. As they get older, that door's okay. We used to have a refrigerator that had the freezer on top. Austin, he can open that, or we can open that all day long. It was never going to hit his head. And there's a certain point when he was around, you had to watch out, because if you swing that thing open, it's going to bonk him in the head. So it was closed for, it was open for a while, then it was closed, then it was back open when he knew to watch out for that door. It wasn't going to hit him in the head. The grandkids, when you close those doors, it's for their protection so that they don't go into places they don't know how to handle. God does the same thing for us. I don't want you going into that place because you don't know how to handle it. You may think you do, but you're not ready yet. I don't like when God tells me, you're not ready yet. It's for our protection, that protection in His timing. The timing's not right, not yet. Protection, possibly redirection. I know you think you want to go down there, but that's not for you. Closed doors could represent divine boundaries. He says, I've set boundaries for my people. You're not to go through those doors. Now listen carefully. Every closed door represents a denial, but it doesn't represent punishment. I must say that again. Every closed door does not represent punishment. You may think it's punishment, but he says, you're needed elsewhere. I need you elsewhere. You don't need to be thinking about that stuff. You don't need to be going down there. I need you to go elsewhere. It's not punishment, it's protection. It's not punishment, it's redirection. Oh, and then there's the trap doors. Those situations that look so good. They're easy, they're comfortable. We talked a couple weeks ago about, I go back to the same place. Why? Because it's comfortable. It's not good, but it's comfortable. And that's why I go there. That's where I go where those people are. That's where I go where those things are. It's easy. It's comfortable circumstances. Sometimes seemingly harmless. And we step forward through those doors without saying, God, do you want me to go down this? God, let me discern this a little bit. We have to discern those doors that He wants us to go down and go through. God, is this really someplace I'm supposed to be going? Or is this another trick of the enemy? The Bible warns us about the snares of the enemy. We can be easily ensnared. Kisha talked about the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I read this a few weeks ago. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. For I am the good shepherd. When He opens a door, it is good. Test it to God's word and know that it's good.
if you're thinking, God, I'm not sure if this is you talking. A lot of times we put our own voice in there. God, if you want me to do this, just make a noise. I heard a noise. Okay, thank you. You know, and we make it so simple that anything could pass. And so we speak these things into existence, and it's not God's will. And then there's a fall of the trap door. Discovering too late that the choice compromises what? Our peace, our integrity, our values. Those things are shot. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And I love this, just a simple line. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And in the midst of this, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, it's when we skip past these things, when we don't know what this says. Oh, right there, it tells us plainly, it seems right. It feels right. It can't be wrong. Oh, it's death. Oh, it could be sin, for the wages of sin is death. No. Jesus said that temptation is going to come our way. But he tells us, you have ways out of that. But when we fall for the trap door, oftentimes we get angry, we get bitter, we get frustrated, our peace is gone, our joy is gone, or at least our happiness, our joy should be inside of us. And then sometimes in the midst of our trap doors, our faith is gone. God, you should have protected me against that. Anyone ever see Bruce Almighty? Like, God, just give me a sign. And he's following past this truck with all these flashing lights and arrows and whatever. He gives us signs. He gives us his word. And he says, these things are to protect you and redirect you. These things are to glorify me when you do these things. But watch out for that thing that seems right to man. For the end is death. We have to discern how to test those doors and how to go through those doors. I said, if we feel like a door is open and God has opened that, let's check his word. Let's see where the situation leads. Let's see where the scripture leads us. Scripture, you mean I'm supposed to check everything based on that? It depends on how big that decision is. Let me go open that cereal door. Oh, all these choices of cereal. Which one? God, please. You know, I don't think those are things we have to spend a whole lot of time saying, God, which one do you want me to choose? But let's look at biblical application. For those other life-changing things, it says every door shapes our life and shapes our future. Not just today, but our future. Test the doors against the Bible and see what the scripture says. In the midst of the doors that you face, do you have peace about it? And I'm talking about an inner peace. But that goes back to what I said earlier. You know, sometimes we think, you know, there's a godly door and we should go through it. And there's opposition, and the opposition is us. I don't have peace about it because I don't know what I'm doing. But God, you're telling me go ahead and do it and step through it in faith and start this and do this. Do you know how many companies have been started by people stepping out in faith? God, I'm not sure. I've never done this, but here we go. But we don't want to do as they did in the Old Testament. Say, I'm going here, God. Are you coming with me? When I say, God, where are you going? Let me follow. Okay, you're going to lead the way through there. And I'm going to follow the cloud. Not the crowd, the cloud. And then as we have opportunity, when you go into a business, someone behind you, you just fling that door open and let it slam in that person's face behind you. Let's help one another out and hold the door for others. If somebody stands there and says, knock, knock, we've got to ask who's there. Truth or consequences, door number one, two, or three. Which one do you want? Do you want to take the goat home? Do you want to take a pile of hay home? Do you want to vacate? You know, those type of things. What's behind those doors? We have to be discerning when we look at those doors. John 10, I'm going to close with this. John 10, I read part of it earlier, and I read part of this a couple weeks ago, but it's important. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That door is open for his sheep. He opens it for us, and we will find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, for I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I want us to think about every opportunity we have every day to go through a door and say, God, did I miss opportunities to go through a door? That door could be, I missed an opportunity to witness to somebody. I missed an opportunity to check in on somebody. I missed an opportunity to say hello and to be kind to somebody that needed it. Jesus says, I am the door. We have to be aware when he's working in our life. We have to watch out when we oppose every door. Are we missing opportunities to serve him? Are we missing opportunities to glorify him? He says in Revelation that we have opportunity. And he says in Revelation 3, I apologize, I almost forgot that. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He also says in that same chapter, in chapter 3 of Revelation, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. He opens doors for us, and he expects us to walk through those. But he also closes doors before us. And when he gives us a little glimpse, we have to be patient in his timing. We have to be patient, though, that he says, you're not ready yet, but I want to give you a little glimpse. Why? So you can prepare for that I have in store for you. And other times he simply says, you're not ready yet. Some doors are closed forever. They're not meant for us to walk through. Other doors are closed for a season. Why? So that we can prepare, so that we can grow, so that we can mature, so that we can prepare ourselves to walk through that door when it's opened for us. Let us pray.